Thanks, Murray.
Well, it's good to be here. Why isn't that people don't use the front seats? Is there something wrong with the front seats? Like, it's in every church, it's the same, and I don't know whether people design church front seats just to be contaminated with something, but we don't like using the front seats, eh? But we're spread out today, so I reckon that back row, sorry, I'm going to pick on you, you should come up. There's an empty row right up here. So my spit won't reach back there. So I reckon, Courtney, come on, lead the way. Thank you. That's very good. Yeah, and there's an empty row up here, but I won't. There's sort of more respectable people on that side, so I won't ask you. Mr. Gay, I think that's the seat for. Is that? That's always been your seat, Paul. He can't move. Like stuck to it. Yeah, it is a pleasure to be here. I love Southland. I don't know if it's because I was a farmer and still am a bit of a hobby farmer, but I love the Southland area and love the, I don't know, there's too many cows down here now for my liking, but I used to love coming down and seeing sheep, so that seems to have changed. But I do love the landscape here. It's beautiful, and I've really, when Liz and I first started in ministry in 1991, people of Southland were very, very kind to us, and it's stuck in our mind and made a big impression on us. So it's always a joy to come down here and share with you and catch up with some of the young people as well. So this week is, for me, it's actually been a very hard week. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable right now. At the beginning of this week, I really didn't want to come down here this weekend, not because of what I had to do. Oh, hi, Hayden. Nice to see you, bro. But just because of everything that I was leaving behind at home, and it's been probably the most difficult week for a long, long time in my life. And just been really challenged in my own heart. I'm not really a worrier by nature. I'm not an anxious person by nature, but been really challenged this week by Philippians 4:6. Who knows what Philippians 4:6 says? All right, you can spill that out really loudly. But let's have the long version. We've got a few versions going on here. Let someone just stand up and say it. Come on, Chris, you can do it. Do you want to stand up and say it for us? Well, it's okay. I've got something wrong before today. Thank you. That's great. That's enough for me. But I've been really challenged by that verse, and even as I was flying down yesterday, just thinking about the verse, you know, I know that verse really, really well. I love that verse. I preach on that verse. And yesterday, the Lord challenged me about, do you really believe that verse? You know, and oftentimes I think in our lives that it's easy to know the truth, but to actually practice the truth is sometimes a different thing. And oftentimes it's not till we get into a situation where life is a little bit hard for us to sort out, that we actually have to determine, am I going to believe this verse and practice it, or I'm just going to believe it? Now, I think that's the challenge for us in our faith. You know, Southland people know the Word of God. And there are a lot of Christians all around the country who know the Word of God, all right? But the challenge for all of us is to actually live the Word of God. And I love the Word of God. I'm a proponent of it, and I love to speak about it. I'm going to talk about it now because I think this is where our weekend should start. But there's also the difficulty of knowing and not living. And the reality of knowing Christ comes from living the Word, not knowing the Word. And that's my challenge for you today, as I was challenged just as I was flying down on the plane, just to let the burdens of that week, and I know there are some to come to when I get home. But to let them go and let the Lord actually knew this, I was going to be here for this week before time began. He knew everything that was going to be happening in my life in the previous week and the last couple of weeks back home. And he had me taken away out of that situation to actually be down here. I'm thinking, Lord, why shouldn't I should really be back there just helping to sort out. But you know what? The Lord took me away. And so for me, it's actually a really exciting week. And I'm not enjoying it a whole lot, but I think it's going to be, it's really exciting just to, again, have that verse practicing in my life. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to Him, to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, what, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How cool is that? It's got to be the best thing, but oftentimes we have to be squeezed to practice the word, don't we? We actually have to be put in a place where, okay, Lord, I've known all that here, but now in my heart, I've got to start practicing this. And so I'm actually grateful to the Lord, believe it or not, that this week is a very practical week for me to put that verse into action. Still not easy, but I'm going to trust Him. I have no other option, but I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to practice that in my life. So I guess as we begin this weekend, and my challenge for this weekend given to me a few months ago was leading parenting and leading youth into the 2000s. Well, I'm sure there are much better people to do that than me. I love working with young people, and it's like the thing that energizes me. But to actually say, well, how you should do it, that's not all that easy, you know, just putting it into practice. And so I thought about it. What should I be saying over these four messages? And I really believe that the Word of God is, we've got to start there. Because that's, to me, that's the basis of leading anyone into the 2000s and beyond, for that matter. It's the only way that, it's the way that God has wanted Christianity to be propelled into, right from when Christ left this earth. So He's given us the Word, and the Word increased and came to it into its fullness, and then we've had the Word of God at our footstool for a long time, so that we can learn about God, understand about God, and then put that into practice. And as I think about young people today, you know what? Young people, believe it or not, they want to know the truth. Young people want to know boundaries. They want to know how to be kept safe. And oftentimes we forget that when we're leading youth, that that's actually what they want. Even though they won't come out and tell you that, that's exactly what they want. They don't even know what it is, but they want that. Is it what they need? Yes, it is what they need. And not only they, but every generation needs it and really want it, because all of us want to be kept safe, right? Anyone here not want to be kept safe in their life? We all want to be kept safe. And so young people actually want to know the boundaries. They want to know how to be kept safe. And so I think that's why we begin with the Word of God. It's interesting that you brought that verse today, Murray. Very appropriate for where I'm going today. You've probably heard the saying that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. How true is that? You know, the reason that many people don't read this today is, I think, it's because of apathy. And it troubles me in the church today that we have people who don't bother reading this each week. It's nice of you to be here today. That tells me that there's a hunger in you to know God or to know His Word. How good is that? But every day, unless we are determined and diligent to read this, you know, we just can go through the motions of Christianity. And I find today right across the church, there's not people picking this book up and reading it every day. And I want to just remind you how precious this book is in this next few moments, and maybe to drive you back to picking that book up every day and spending some quality time in it, spending some time reading that book. And so I see apathy in the church today. And certainly if it's in the church, like the church as a whole, you know what? It's made up of a lot of older people, or sort of, you know, like 20-ups, right? And the young people, yeah, well, those of you who are older than that. But young people are looking constantly to that generation saying, how are they living their lives? I'm going to live my life like that. And I was just saying, talking to my son the other day, who's doing an internship with us, and just talking about the impact that he's having on young people. He's 18. And already there are young people looking up to Josh. It was really funny the other day, one of the young people in our youth group says, oh, they didn't know whether they should dress up formally for this thing or not. And they says, oh, what's Josh wearing? It's like, what? What do you mean, what's Josh wearing? So what? But you know what? He said that because he's looking up to him. He's being a model to this boy who's 15. And all of you are being a model to somebody. Every one of you. from the oldest to the youngest here today, you're being a model to someone. Someone is looking at you and modeling their life upon you. It's pretty scary, really. It's pretty scary. And so how we model Christianity is really, really important. We'll talk a little bit more about that in our next session, about parenting. That'll be pretty exciting. But we want to look at the Word of God today, and I think over this weekend it's going to be not so much as in a Bible school. Jeremy and I were just talking a little bit earlier about this, but more like some practical tips on how to. Today we're going to look at this, the Scriptures, and both of us are going to be referring to Scriptures, but we're not going to be doing expositional preaching this weekend. We're going to be looking at some things that are practical in life about how to do stuff, all right? So hopefully it will be helpful to all of you. So living the Word of God, and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And while I'm looking up Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, would someone look up John chapter 1 verse 1, please? Now I'm going to pick on someone if someone doesn't volunteer. So would someone like to, someone put your hand up if you want to grab John chapter 1 verse 1 for me, please? No one. Okay, we have a man at the back. Thank you, sir. Sorry, you missed out there. He got the first bid and he'll take it. John chapter 1 verse 1. And Hebrews is still in the same place as it was last time. I got a new Bible yesterday, and it's still in the same place, which is really helpful. But it says here in Hebrews, can we have John 1, verse 1 first, please?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. We think about he has spoken to us by his Son. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word speaking about there? Jesus Christ. And so when we think about the Word and Jesus Christ being together, when we think about this book, this is the living words of Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God himself. This is the creator of the universe himself who's saying, hey, this is my word to you today. How important is that to you? That the creator of the universe would write some words down just for you, John. Just for you, Paul. Just for you, Hannah. Just for every one of us. So if that's what he's saying, how important for us to read it? Yes or no? Yes, we agree with that. And then as I thought about that yesterday flying down, I was thinking about John chapter 1 and verse 1. I was thinking about Jesus Christ, the living Word. So he's the living Word. He's not dead, right? He's risen from the dead and he's still alive today. I was reading that in my quiet time this morning from Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus Christ is alive today. He's the living Word. This book is not dead. It's a living Word of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'm going to be looking at that in a moment. So as just to preempt what I'm saying today is that I want you to get a handle on the fact that this is the living Word of God. It's not just a book. I do believe that sometimes we treat it as a book. That we read it, we do our duty and we put it down and it becomes a book. We've even done our duty for God. We've had our quiet time. We've done our reading. So I've got my brownie points with God today. I don't really think that's why we should be reading the Word of God. Should it be? So today, can you be impacted by the fact that, I guess if you hear nothing else, and whether you hear me or the Spirit of God speaking to you or the Word of God speaking to you, start thinking about this book as the living book. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God's love letter to you. This is him personified. The living Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just some words on paper. Yes, it is words on paper. But it's more than that. More than any other book in all the world. So I want us to be inspired by that. I'm challenged myself as I'm speaking to you about this. As I've been flying down on the plane yesterday and as I've been preparing this message, thinking about Jesus Christ as the living Word. And we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 shortly. But as we think of the word of God, that it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, it's important to us for salvation as well. But I love Psalm 119, and we're going to be looking at a number of scriptures in there in a moment. But there's a number of other scriptures that maybe we can just see how many people know their memory verses this morning, or this afternoon now. And who can tell us Psalm 119, verse 105? Well, I think I should have chocolate bars. Do you have chocolate bars out the back, Murray, or not? I should have bought some. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, all right? Psalm 119, 9 to 11. Yep. Okay, your word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. How can the young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to the word of God. Your word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not what? Sin against you. It's a practical living book. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so on. All right. Let the word of Christ take root in you richly. Romans 12:1-2. And don't be. Romans 12:2 is one of my favorite verses over these last few years. Just really challenging my heart. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change happens in our heart and in our minds when we allow the word of God to transform our minds. Our heart is changed. Hebrews 4:12, we've already had that today. Murray knows it off by heart, don't you, Murray? It's a wise The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Who's going to finish it for me? Hayden. Than any two-edged sword. Very good ventriloquism. And so on, all right? The word of God is quick and powerful. It goes right into our soul. What about Joshua 1:8? Joshua 1:8, that's Joshua 24:15, I think. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law. Someone put their hand up and say, I'm going to say this. This lady down here has got Joe, is it? Joe, you've got a chocolate bar. I mean, a cake of chocolate. You're getting one before the end of the weekend. Who's going to stand up and say this one for me? Joshua 1:8. That is awesome. Okay, this book of the law. Moses passing on to Joshua here. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night. And the outcome of that is going to be good for you. All right? We don't just read the word and we don't memorize it for just to, again, get brownie points. Please don't do it like that. It's good for your soul and your mind, but let it be the transforming power of God in your soul and in your mind. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words that I've taught you, Paul says to Timothy. Hang on to that. It's really important for you. So as we're leading into the 2000s, and we're nearly, it seems like we're nearly at the 3000s, but as we're thinking about the 2000s, you know, the word of God has got to be foundational to what we do and how we think and how we act. But it's got to be living and active in our lives. And I think that's the challenge for us as Christian people today. That we can go through the motions of Christianity without living the Christianity. We can go through the motions of reading the Word of God without actually allowing that to transform my heart and my mind. And we'll talk a little bit more maybe about that tonight. But I love 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and that from childhood, Paul says to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God initially gives us salvation, right? How cool is that? That in the Word of God contains life, eternal life, salvation from God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ.
If you go to John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall and does not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from what? Death unto..." How cool is that? We're not living fossils, folks. We're living beings. We've been transformed from death to life. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Murray, in our prayer just before, was just sharing about the enjoyment of knowing Christ. Never stop being thankful for your salvation. But remember, it's a living faith. The Word of God has got to be living in our lives daily. And that's what I want to challenge you today and remind you about today. Jesus said, "Whoever hears my word," the word is the agency for letting people know about who Jesus Christ is. The word is that which gives new life. In John chapter 6, I draw your attention to a couple of verses here towards the end of the chapter where Jesus again is teaching in this section about the bread of life. He said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Then he says this, "The words that I've spoken to you today are spirit and are life. And if they haven't affected that in you, that's because you don't believe." So as Jesus shares the word, the Spirit of God takes the word of God and brings life to that. In John chapter 14, I do believe, it says of the Spirit of God that he came to convict of what? Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. How does he do that? He does that through the word of God, through the agency of the word of God. He doesn't just pick things out of the air. We're convicted by the word of God, by the truth that we know. And the word of God contains the truth for living. It's our moral compass for life. And so as we read it, the Spirit of God will take that and bring conviction into our life about how we're living. Whether we're living righteously, whether there's sin in our life, or whether it's warning us of judgment to come. And so the word of God is so important for salvation. Is there a clock in this house? Oh, it's over there. When do we finish here, Murray? 4 o'clock. Okay. Oh, we're on North Island time here, sorry. And Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7 that says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting or completing the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, or transforming the simple. Man, I reckon we just need to fall in love with the word and take some time over reading the word of God instead of just rushing over it. There's so much in it. And the psalmist, if you go to Psalm 119, and I want you to camp there, please. We're going to look at a number of verses in Psalm 119. But he uses, the psalmist uses a number of words in that psalm. He uses the word law. And the law, basic meaning of the word law is the setting down of duties, how they are to be done. They are guides that instruct in the way of righteousness. They are called law because they are God's instructions. They come from a verb which means to direct, to guide, to aim, and to shoot forward. So as you're thinking about the law, it's not just a simple word about what was in the past, but it's a living, active word of what God has for us. He talks about the testimonies of God. And these are more God's witnesses and confirmations of his promises made to his people. He talks here about the precepts. And these mean something entrusted to man, appointments of God which consequently have to do with the conscience. So that's what, when he talks about the precepts mean. He talks about the statutes of the Lord. It means a definite principle, written law, fixed and determined, cannot be shifted. Talks about the commandments of God. And that's God's revealed law committed to our trust to be kept. Not something just to be let go easily. He talks about the judgments of God. They are given to govern, to judge, or to determine. They have come from the great judge to which all men one day must submit to him. And so as you're reading the Psalms, you'll see these words coming up in Psalm 119. And each of them have deep meaning in them. But as we think of salvation, if you go to Psalm 119, verse 41 and 42, he says there, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word." And so as we take As we take the word of God in, it gives us courage to those who would ridicule us. And here the psalmist was feeling ridiculed by those who were against God. And he says, Lord, your word gives me comfort. I was just reading in the paper today. Oh, there was a thing on TV the other night about a girl, one of those Nigerian girls who was a Christian girl, having to repeat the Quran. And you could see the pain in her face, having to do this for the sake of her life. And I'm not so sure how I would be in that same situation. I certainly didn't condemn her for what she was doing, because you could see that it wasn't from her heart. But knowing God gave her courage to stand. And there was another situation in the paper today, I don't know if you read it, about a lady in Sudan condemned to death because of her standing up for believing in Jesus Christ. God's word gives us courage to those who would ridicule us. Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And so the word of God gives us hope. God's word gives us hope for the future. Without him, we don't have any life. My dad right now is in his last days of his life. He's suffering with a brain tumor. You know, he just wants to leave this earth because he wants to go home. He's not afraid to die. He's got all hope about dying. And there is hope for the Christian, no matter what happens, that we are in the hand of God. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word guides us. Verse 130, the entrance of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. This is the word of God. What's contained in this book is so precious to us. It gives us understanding, gives us wisdom for life. I want to commend this book to you to read on a daily basis. You know, there are some days, and not very many, when Tom says, I'm too busy to read the word of God. How foolish of me to say that. I don't literally come out loud and say, I'm too busy, God, to read your word today. No, I kind of make excuses to myself and say, oh, I'm too busy. I woke up late today. I've got too many things to do. I'll read the word of God later. But what I'm saying is, it's not so important to me right now. I've got these other things to do. And we make excuses. We make excuses. So if we go to 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God says this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It comes from the mouth of God. His son is the living word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully equipped, fit for every good work. And so as we think about this word for doctrine or for teaching, that is telling us what is right. The word of God is there to tell us what is right. And in a day and age when that is really, really blurred today, what is right, what is wrong? The world certainly doesn't know anymore. But I wonder whether in the church it's pretty blurred for us anymore. What is right, what is wrong? Oh, you can't say that's wrong, or you can't say that's right. That's just your perception. That's just your interpretation. And so we have a bunch of young people growing up today, they don't know what is right and wrong anymore. The society they live in, well, there's nothing right, nothing wrong. Well, everything's right, nothing's wrong. That's very, very confusing. The word of God says this is what's right. His word is right. And we need to stick to teaching the word of God and helping young people to understand that in a way that they would understand. Verse 24 of Psalm 119 says, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Your word is my counselor. It is my wisdom and my guidance. Is that how you see the word of God as you read it? That it's your wisdom and your guidance. It's your counselor. Never had so many counselors in our world before as today. But not a lot of them are using the word of God. Verse 27, Psalm 119. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of your word is truth. So the word of God teaches us what is right. It also teaches us what is wrong. It reproves us. And none of us like being reproved, do we? Really? I don't think so. And the psalmist says here in Psalm 119, verse 59, he says this, I thought about my ways. And what does he say next? And I turned my feet to your testimonies. I thought about my ways. How often do you stop and meditate on your ways? How often do you stop and think about the way that you're living your life? And then do you turn to God's testimonies, or do you turn to an elder or a friend and talk to them? You see, as he read, even as he thought about God, he thought about the way that he was living. And it caused him to think that, man, am I living my way right or am I living my way wrong? And that's why I love Romans 12:2, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And folks, you know what? We all need to have our minds transformed. Our minds are reprobate. They're sinful. They are tainted by the devil himself. The world has overlaid our mind with all this rubbish and garbage. And it's only as we take the word of God that we can start to cleanse that and start to look straight and walk straight. And so the word of God will teach us what is wrong. Verse 60 of Psalm 119. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. And when God speaks into our hearts, that should be our reaction. Lord, you've reproved me. I'm going to move quickly to do what is right. God challenged me as I was flying down yesterday about quickly moving to do what is right. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, I love that part of the verse. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your what? Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, they're different. And God wants them both to be in sync. So that's why we have to transform our minds so that they're in sync with the heart that God gives us. Verse 67, Psalm 119. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Leaving God's word will cause you to stray. Leaving God's word will cause you to go away from where he wants you to be. It will cause you to stray. And then the word of God is powerful for correction, is profitable for correction. So we've learned that the word of God is for teaching, to tell us what is right. It's profitable for reproof, to how to get right, or show us what is wrong. And then correction, how to get right. And so Psalm 119 verses 5 and 6 says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God guides us. It helps us to get right. And when you're reading the word of God and the Spirit of God convicts you, you have a responsibility to do something with that. But you know what? We all have a choice to do something with it too, don't we? Am I going to obey or am I going to disobey? And here, you know, that was my challenge yesterday. I'm straight up with you. It was easy to say it, easy to know it, easy to love that verse. But then the Lord was saying to me, you're going to trust me with it. Are you going to trust me for this? And that's the challenge for all of us. As we were approved, how to get right through being corrected. And then it's profitable to train us in righteousness. And that's how to stay right, how to live our lives right. Psalm 119 verses 9 through 11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. And then he says, your word have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Is that the cry of your heart? Lord, I don't want to wander from your commandments. I want to be kept from sin. And so I hide your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. Verse 101, I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I've made a decision to keep my feet from every evil way so that, Lord, I can be obedient to you. Is obedience to Jesus Christ foremost in your mind? When you have a choice to make, and all of you have made choices today about sin. Yeah, you've had to make a choice about selfishness or pride today, or about your thoughts today. Probably all of us. There's been a temptation for all of us to look after number one and to look after self. But have we decided, no, I'm going to keep my feet restrained from every evil way that I might keep God's word? Verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The word of God has a cleansing effect on our minds. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. The word of God is worth more than money, folks. And yet we spend a lot of time making money and building up resources for ourselves. Sometimes we rush off to work. Lord, I haven't got time to spend with you today. I've got to go and make some money. It's not wrong to make money. It's not wrong to have a job. But it's about priorities, folks. It's about our priorities. Is living the word paramount for us? Verse 133, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Direct my steps by your word. That's why I try and read this book every day, because I know it's having an effect on my mind and my heart. It's helping to direct my steps. Do you know why I still don't always get it right? Because I'm a work in progress. But the word of God is there to teach us what is right. It's there to teach us what is wrong. It's to teach us how to get right, and then it's there to teach us how to stay right. And how cool is that? That God would give us his word and help us to live this life as we respond to him, as the Spirit of God is helping us to apply the word to our lives. So the word of God has transforming power. And so how can we know the word? And my challenge to you today is you need to be reading the word of God. Do you have a daily reading program? Do you take time to memorize the word of God? You know what? I teach young people, if you've got a sin problem, let's find a verse of scripture that can speak to that sin problem. And then memorize it and put it in front of you. If you're struggling with sin in any area, any of you here today, find a scripture that can speak to that and let that be the cleansing effect on your heart and on your mind. By meditating on it, by carefully thinking about it, by chewing the cud of the word of God. As Moses spoke to Joshua, he said, may meditate on the word of God. Think about it. Chew the cud over it. Think about how it applies to your life, how it might be practical in your life, how it might prepare you for tomorrow. Are we demonstrating that? There's many older people here today, as in older than teenagers I'm talking about. Are we demonstrating that? Are we living that? Are we just commanding it? Are we studying the word of God? Are we taking time to study the word of God? And it's not for here, it's for here. Yeah, it's good to understand the word. It's good to have knowledge. But knowledge has got to be practical. You know, in our youth programs, we're teaching doctrine to young people. Okay, that's our curriculum, is about teaching doctrine. But doctrine is practical. It's not for just information in here to know what is right about God, but it's to live our lives practically to know God. And then by listening to the word of God. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? And I think the challenge starts for us with us and God himself in his word daily by ourselves. By ourselves. And if you're not doing that today, why don't you start with 5 minutes tomorrow or tonight and spend some time reading and praying? Why don't you start with 10 minutes? Put that in your diary and say, in your diary up here, and say, Lord, this is too important for me to make anything more important than this. This is more important than my husband or my wife or my children. This is more important than my job or my leisure or my sleep. I'm going to make it a priority today. There was an old man, and his grandson had come to visit with him. And the grandfather, every morning he would wake up and he would sit in front of the fire and he'd read the word, and the son would come out. His grandson would come out and watch him. One day his grandson came out and says, Grandpa, he says, why do you keep reading the word of God? I read the word of God and I don't understand it. He says, oh, it's really interesting. And so Grandpa thought, and then he said, look, I want you to do something for me. He said, I want you to take the coal basket, he says. I want you to take the coal basket and I want you to go down to the river and I want you to bring me back a basket full of water. And the grandson looks at him. maybe missing a few marbles in his old age, but he did what Grandpa wanted because he loved his Grandpa. So he went down to the river and he filled the basket up with water and he ran as fast to Grandpa as he could, and then he'd get to Grandpa and he says, "Grandpa, it's no good because all the water leaks out of it." Grandpa says, "You better run faster, son." So he goes down and he fills it up with water again and he runs back as fast as he can go, and he gets back and there's still not much water in it. Grandpa says, "I don't think you're running fast enough, son." This time Grandpa goes and he watches him. And the grandson says, "Right, I'm going to really impress Grandpa now." And he went down, he filled it up, and he ran as fast as he could go all the way back to Grandpa. And he looked in the basket and said, "Grandpa, it's no good. I've run my fastest. And there's no water in the basket." He says, "I know, son. But," he says, "I want you to take a look at the basket." And he looked at the basket. He says, "What do you see, son?" He says, "Well, I see a basket with holes in it." But he said, "Son, do you remember the basket I gave you when you first went down to the river? What did it look like?" "Oh," he says, "it had a lot of coal dust. It looked kind of dirty." He said, "Well, look at it now. What's happened to it?" "Well, it's kind of clean. It's clean. The water's cleaned it." He says, "I want you to learn a lesson today." He says, "You know what? As I read the Word of God, not every day do I understand everything about it. But as the Word of God goes through me, it starts to cleanse me. And as I read it over and over and over, the Word of God has an impact on my life." He says, "Son, I want you to start reading the Word of God every day. You may not always understand it. You may not always be able to apply it, but it's having a cleansing effect on your heart and on your mind." Do you know what? Subconsciously, folks, when you're reading the Word of God, it starts to impact your heart and your mind. Because it's God's Word. Remember how I started? It's the living Word of God Himself. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, permeating your soul. Now, if that's not important, nothing's important. And my question as I finish right now is to you today is, are you reading the Word of God? Is it important to you? And I'm not talking about having a little devotional that you read every day. I'm talking about this book. It's good to have a devotional and to read a devotional, but you know what? That's someone else's regurgitated information. Would you let the Word of God speak to you? You know what? There are some days I don't always get a lot of application from it. But you know what? By faith, I read the Word of God and allow it to do that cleansing in my heart and in my mind. My challenge for you as we begin this weekend is, and if we're to lead in the 2000s, whether in evangelism, as Jeremy's going to be speaking to us about, or leading our young people, or you know what, leading myself. It's got to be me and this Word and the Word of God. It's got to be important to me. And don't let the world rob you of reading the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this book. Lord, forgive me for sometimes not thinking that it's living and active. Lord, forgive me for being careless with it at times. Oh God, renew a passion in all of us to read your Word and to make it real in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that it has a cleansing effect on our heart and on our minds. And Lord, I long that all of us might be transformed by your Word so that as we lead ourselves into the 2000s, as we reflect Christ to a lost world, as we reflect Christ to the young people around us and to adults around us and to children, Lord, that we might reflect the glory of Jesus. Father, it's hard work and we admit that. Sometimes it's a real discipline we find so hard. And Lord, we just appeal to you today to help us with that. And this morning, this afternoon, if you're struggling in your own devotional reading the Word of God, would you admit that to God right now? And if you're serious about it, ask Him to help you to discipline yourself so that you might spend time with Him, starting today. He'll help you with one leg out of the bed, you'll have to get the other one out. But would you admit that to Him now? Like, admit it to Him and ask Him to help you. Just do that now in the quietness. Amen. And maybe, I don't know if you've got a little sheet there with notes. Maybe you'd like to write down an application from this message, if there was one for you. Just take a moment now before, I think it's smoko time, is it? But take a moment right now just to write down, what am I going to apply from what I've heard today? Is there anything? Maybe it's to memorize the verse. Maybe it's to read the Word of God. Maybe it's to start to meditate. Maybe it's to start to study. What could it be for you? Just write something down today, because you know what? We can come and hear some stuff, be encouraged, go away and do nothing. That was not my idea of coming all the way down here to speak to you. I want to be practical and helpful, and if you could do something that would help you, that would be great. Thanks so much.